SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Three, Cubs, good to have you with us. So what is happening with this alleged investigation of the UConn basketball program?
Well, there's actually been even more to it than this. Now, first of all, the story last night was is that the NCAA and the Raleigh police had launched some investigation on the SID threatening the reporter who took the video of Hurley in the tunnel yelling the F-bombs at the Baylor guys going out on the floor to play Duke. We talked about that yesterday.
They should have. I agree with it because that guy needs to learn the hard way. Like, he's threatening kids. He's threatening reporters. He's, I'm going to ruin your life. I'm going to destroy you. Like, who the F are you to threaten anyone, you male organ of the month club, you loser, like somebody, SID. I would have grabbed the guy by the throat.
Somebody obviously got in his ear last night and explained to him what was going on and how things could continue to get worse for him. Because this guy, Joey Ellis, who works for Queen City News, he's the guy that took the video in question that got threatened by the SID.
He's a reporter.
He's the reporter. He tweeted this 3 hours ago. Just a quick and hopefully final update. UConn SID Bobby Mullen and I spoke a short time ago during which he apologized for his behavior. I accepted it, and life rolls on. So it sounds like this guy's done with it. He got his apology from the UConn guy, and everyone's lives are going to move on. That's kind of what it's from.
And what's the guy's name at UConn so we can make fun of him some more?
Bobby Mullen is the SID at UConn who was involved in this incident.
Bobby, you're a massive D-head. I just wanted to say that. And you're phony-ass, pathetic, wussy, fake apology, which you obviously don't mean, but I'm sure were forced to apologize to the kid. Congratulations, you loser. Like, what kind of a tool-ass loser threatens some kid doing his job? Like, they don't respect anyone at that place because they think they're highfalutin. Like, they won back-to-back titles, so we're all supposed to bow down and wash their feet and you know, knob them. Like, you know, the kid was doing what he's supposed to do, and you don't respect that. And that's funny because let me tell you something about the job of the sports information director. I worked with 100,000 of them in my career. Their job is to accommodate the media. Yeah. It's as simple as that. There is no other title. There is no other definition of their job. Their job is to handle the media and accommodate the media to cover their team. Now, this kid wasn't on the UConn payroll, and he got that loudmouth, lunatic, crazy nut job of a coach to open up his big, fat, dirty mouth after a loss, blaming the refs. What an excellent job by the kid Ellis, the story. And then this guy threatens him. You're a tool, and someone should have beat your ass right there on the spot. You're a tool. I want to say it over and over again. What a loser you are, dude. And I hope someone has the nuts to send a clip of this right to him and let him know my name, because I'm sure he'll remember who I am. So, you're a loser. I mean, this guy is the loser of the year in college sports. Your job is to help the media, but you're over there running this fascist UConn basketball team with your lunatic coach, and you're going to defend him that he had a rough night. What a wussy loser you are, dude. Go home to your fat, ugly wife. Go pet your cat. You're just like him. You little kitty cat. What a loser. Hey, Mike, does that cover it in terms of...
You covered it.
I just wanted to make sure
you covered
that, 'cause sometimes, well, you tell me always it's important that I get it.
Yeah.
Like all the,
you circled.
Like this all You circled the...
Yeah, you circled back around on Bobby. Bobby, you circled back around on
Bobby, my man. Business. You loser.
Three things from the women. They played eight games yesterday in their second round. The favorites won all eight of them. Seven of the eight games were by double digits, except for that double overtime Maryland-Alabama game, which was nuts, 111-108.
That was a good game.
USC did lose, unfortunately. Juju Watkins, she tore ACL last night. She's finished for USC.
My buddy was at the game with his kids.
Wow.
And it happened right in front of him. She fell with a double team on her going in for a drive and a layup. And my friend and his kids, he took his two daughters to the game. They're big Trojan basketball Juju fans. She's a hell of a player. Went to see her, devastated. Saw it happen right in front of them, 20 feet away, and they were devastated. It ruined their experience. And it's just a horrible thing that I think her injury, Mike, is devastating to the women's tournament.
Yeah, she was obviously one of the two or three biggest stars that's in this thing, and now she's finished. And USC, unfortunately, will be finished going forward. And an emotional night with UConn
very
for
emotional.
Paige Beckers. Her last game at home, 34 points, tied a career high.
She bought all the tickets for the stadium to be half full. Yeah.
34-point win for UConn over South Dakota
State. Did you hear that she gets
up
in the morning and makes her teammate breakfast for Ramadan at 5 a.m.?
Did not hear that. I didn't hear any of the emotional stories and all the background stuff. I didn't get into any of that. I don't know about – I know they're going to pump everybody up. I didn't see
it. We don't have feelings on this program. Mike and I have been notoriously – selfish when it comes to feelings. We don't believe in feelings.
That's
or
correct.
Rules.
We definitely don't believe in either of those things. All right, I have games tonight. Let's go. How about the NIT? The quarters tonight. That's right. The quarterfinals. You have two tonight and two tomorrow. Chattanooga against Bradley in the first one. -3.5 for Bradley. That's at their gym. And North Texas has to take the trip to Stillwater, where they're actually 1.5. I've got this flip now. I know earlier this morning it was Oklahoma State 1.5. I have up to this second North Texas -1.5 in this game on the road as the favorite.
Well, remember we tried to get in front of Oklahoma State when they play at Iva like last week, and it didn't go well. They won by 10. So I'll take Oklahoma State in Stillwater to win again. And Chattanooga never loses. They're like Michigan when they play in tournaments. How many times have we seen Chattanooga get into the NCAA tournament or in any tournament, and all they do is win? Bradley, two wins better than them? Give me Chattanooga and the points.
The other two quarterfinals are tomorrow night. We'll talk about them then. Anteaters have UAB coming to Irvine, and Kent State and Loyola. We'll do those tomorrow. The winners go to the Hinkle Fieldhouse next week for the NIT semis, which will be going up against that crown tournament. Indeed it is. CBI semis tonight.
Isn't that where they filmed Hoosiers, Mike? I think they filmed it at the Hinkle.
I believe so.
It really is. And the rims, it's unbelievable, Mike. It's an unbelievable story. Tell them how high the rims are in the Hinkle.
I heard that they're 10 feet. I've heard that they're just like in the movie when Hackman takes the tape measure out. They're the same. Illinois State and Incarnate Word, Florida Gulf Coast and Cleveland State in the CBI semis tonight in Daytona Beach.
There is no way that Illinois State is losing to some religious school. You can't have it. Like, who'd you lose to? We lost to the Bible-toting school, Incarnate Word. It has to be a place where the boys are not allowed in the girls' dormitory. I can't have it. Give me the birds. Illinois State.
Illinois State and Cleveland State. Let's go. And Cleveland State tonight. They'll play the title game tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It was that time of the week again where we spend the entire break talking bad about people. And we're good at it.
Time of the week. Time of the day. Another week. Happens every day that goes on. So it was that time of the day. I'll talk bad about people now, too, on the show. You and Muzzy already talked about this, but the Islanders got completely jobbed at the horse track last night. They scored the winning goal with, like, under 10 seconds left in the game, and the ref waves it off for goalie interference with Palmieri, which is just absolute nonsense.
Did they throw stuff on the ice? I mean, did they throw beers?
I don't believe they did, because everybody was in such shock that it happened. I think they were all like, what just happened here? And, of course, awesome. Columbus ends up winning the game in the shootout and getting the extra point. Let's check in with Islander head coach Patrick Waugh, his feelings on the Toronto Review crew.
Patrick, at the end of the game, how did you see the goal being waved off?
I think I saw it the same way you guys saw it. I mean, Palmieri was out of the crease, and we tipped it in, and I think their goalie pushed him away at the same time. So, but that's how I see it. And if Toronto is afraid to overturn calls made by their referee, we don't need Toronto. That's all I would want to say.
He's right.
That is the greatest thing I've heard in the NHL in years. And I got to tell you, look, I really like this guy. And I hate the Islanders. I hate the Islanders more than any team on earth. You know that. They've killed me my whole life. My whole life. There's been one team that's been a pain in my ass. It's been the Islanders. But I respect them. I respect their 4 Stanley Cups. I respected Bossy. I respected Nystrom, all those greats. Tache obviously was a Penguin. But I have to say, this coach, I love this coach. Whether they win or not, they got to stick with this coach, because it's only going to get better with the wins and with his postgame press conference.
He's a gem.
You got to keep the crazy coach. Like, why do you think Tortorella keeps getting jobs in the NHL? They just can't get rid of him because he's so unpredictable and undeniably crazy that you got to have him around just to listen to his postgame tirade. Waugh does it completely different. He doesn't do it with all the threats and scary stuff. He just comes right out with it and tells it like it is. I love that about him.
Great job by Waugh sticking up, because he's right. If you're scared to do it, why even have it?
All the phonies in the NHL tried to rub him out and get rid of him and make
that's why you don't care.
As far away as possible. They wanted him in where was it where Cam lived? Yellowtooth? They wanted him. I love Patrick Waugh, and he's perfect in New York because he's nuts and he tells it like it is. And I think chicks want to sleep with him.
It's probably true. The Canucks beat the Devils 4-3 in a shootout. Dallas beat the Wild. Detroit beat Utah last night. Washington gave defenseman Jacob Chychrun an 8-year, $72 million
all these dollar extension. Deals. There's not what player That's... lasts 8 years in anything.
It's true. Islanders only getting 1 point last night. That now leaves them just 1 point shy of Montreal. As you see there on the standings, they are right behind the Canadiens. The Rangers are also 1 back, and Columbus getting 2 last night means they're now only 2 back of Montreal as well. So down the stretch they come.
Well, that was bullshack last night at the horse track. Yes. Absolute bullshack.
They should be tied.
It's embarrassing. How do you watch that and not change that call?
Makes no sense. And as far as the Western Conference goes, St. Louis, as I told you yesterday, is in the last spot, but Vancouver's 3 back, Calgary 4 back, Utah now 6 back, as they're losing some ground there, Utah, after losing last night.
Well, look, like I said, the Muzzy, the Blues are on fire. I mean, play like that for another week and you're in the playoffs. I mean, they're
already. That's pretty much.
You know what I mean? They got about another week to do this and they're in. And, you know, look, same thing in the NBA. I think the West in the NHL is going to be crazy. The playoffs are going to be crazy.
They are. Tonight, we have lots of games in the NHL. Let's go. Ottawa has the first wild card spot right now. Have somewhat of a comfortable lead on it. They're in Buffalo against the Sabres. -145 for Ottawa, +122 for Buffalo, 6.5.
I still got to go Ottawa here with, you know, what they're doing, where they are in the wild card, in the number one slot. They'll go into Shuffalofta and get it done.
The Flyers are in Toronto tonight against the Leafs. Leafs with the heavy lumber here, -250 now, +2 bills for the Flyers, and a 5.5.
I like Toronto here, big, and I'll puck line it and make $1.05 when I'm done.
Nothing wrong with a couple days in Florida to get away from the Pittsburgh cold in the middle of March. They were in Florida the other night. Now they are in Tampa, the Penguins against the Lightning. -290 now this is up to for the Lightning, +240 for the Penguins, and a 6.5.
Well, the Penguins have been playing great, so I'll take the goal and a half and pay only -110 to get it. So I like their chances getting the goal and a half. Give me the Penguins on the puck line tonight, even though I think the Lightning will win the game at Amalie by a goal.
More heavy lumber in Carolina. The Hurricanes are -250, up 275, too, in some spots. +220 for the Preds, 5.5 the total.
They'll win. I'll puck line it. I think they'll kick the Predators' ass tonight in Raleigh.
The Canadians, as we just said, how about this? The two teams that are holding the last spots in each conference playing in St. Louis tonight. Canadians, +130, Blues -156, and a 5.5.
Yeah, listen, I got to go straight Blues here. 6 in a row they've won. They're at home. They're on fire.
Few other straggler games, late night games that we'll do when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know the lingo, Mike. They call these fast channels. Free and streaming television. And just so we're clear, we're number one. That's it. We kick everyone's ass in gambling. We kick everyone's ass. Everyone. They all hate us. And it's a lot like my team hated most. We're hated most because we're number one. And it was actually easy getting to that position. Everyone else has all these channels that we stomp, and it's fun doing it. I just wanted to say.
It certainly is. The Knights are in Minnesota against the Wild. Here this evening, Vegas road favorites I got them up to -215 now, +180 for the Wild and a 5.5.
Well, I saw them barf all over their bib last night, right, in Dallas. So I'm going to take Vegas. I'm actually going to take Vegas on the road. Do any of these teams win on the road anymore in the NHL? Can anyone win a road game?
It's not easy, especially as you get into the end here of the long grind of the season and everybody's got 10 games left. It just gets very difficult to win on the road. The Caps, two best teams in the NHL tonight. The Caps with 102 points. The Farrelipeg Jets with 100 points. They're in the Great White North. Winnipeg -150. Caps +122. And a 5.5.
That's about as much as I'm willing to go in terms of price on a game. I'll take the Jets on home ice and Farrelipeg.
On the opposite side of that spectrum of where you're willing to go, the Avalanche are -310 tonight against the Red Wings, who are playing a back-to-back. Of course, they won in Utah last night. Total is 6.5 here.
I'll puck line the Avs and lay the goal and a half at -125.
Calgary, one of the teams in the mix for that last spot. They are at home tonight for the Kraken, -140, +120 for Seattle, and a 5.5.
I got to go Flames at Saddle Dome.
And finally, the Rangers hit California this week. They'll start at the Crypto against the Kings, who have been on fire. Kings -165, Rangers +140, and a 5.5.
I'll even puck line this, and if it hits, it's $1.58. I think the, you know, Rangers for me have been just like a flat soda. So give me LA. I mean, I know that, look, they may play better on the road because they certainly don't play well at the Garden, at least not this year.
No, they certainly do not. There you go. Hockey.
Everybody loves hockey.
The baseball season starts on Thursday, opening day. I'm planning a big start of the season blowout tomorrow on Coast to Coast. I mean, we're going to have it all
sheet
the
of integrity.
Oh, sheet of integrity for the wins total plays. We are going to have all the preseason award odds, all the lines for Thursday, everything. Anything you could imagine for baseball, we're going to get
see
it in
all these,
tomorrow.
Shows with the sheet of integrity that they've stolen from you as the rights holder of the sheet of integrity.
And let me tell you, that was 100% stolen from me. I've been doing that bit for a long time, a very long time.
Didn't I just say that? Like, I watch these shows and I throw pizza slices at the TV.
It's not right.
Sheet of integrity,
they obviously,
my ass. And the rights holder.
Listening back in the day. The Dodgers, of course, are going to be big favorites. Let me do this now, and then at the end in the leftovers, I'll go over a few other things with you. Here's Mookie Betts. Like, we were saying yesterday, what is going on with this guy? I mean, this just sounds awful. Let's hear him.
I don't think anybody really knows. I mean, it's just...
He looks like he's on meth.
You know, you go and you weigh yourself and you weigh 150 pounds. I mean, and before I left spring, I was 175. And so, you know, it's a balance because I guess my stomach is really aggravated. And so it's hard to just not eat, you know, especially you can't come to work and just not eat. And you know how I am. I'm practicing all day and my body's just kind of eating itself, and so it's hard to not fuel it. And so literally every time I fuel my body, I throw it up, and I don't know what to do about it.
I mean, that is some scary stuff. He's hurling a projectile Linda Blair style after anything he puts in his body. And he can't, like, how can you be a professional athlete when you can't eat and you can't have protein and be loaded really with carbs and everything else for that matter to perform? I mean, I just don't understand how and why this is happening, and they can't figure it out either. That's what's scary about it.
I don't know why Roberts too is still like, yeah, he might play this week. Why don't you start the year on the IL and give him a week or two to get himself.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Adam Kaplan is our NFL insider on SportsGrid and on Coast to Coast. You see him religiously. Thank God for that. You can follow him on X at KaplanNFL. He's got 30 years covering the league. And he's been with us since the jump. I want to ask you first, before we get into the, you know, draft pick odds, I want to ask, I saw this story today running. The NFL Network is putting their name on it that Aaron Rodgers could be close to making his decision. Is that like might be close, could be close, or is it just not a story? Because it could be, might be, wants to wishes he were. What, I mean, what is it? It's nonsense.
Well, first of all, the Steelers, okay, who are the favorite, the clear favorite, they're on his timeline. Any team interested, obviously the other one would be the Giants, but they're a long shot. But the bottom line is the Steelers are willing to wait for him. He had his meeting with them last week. They know where he's at. He needs to make a decision. They know what the money will look like. And Scott, your Steelers, I don't want to say they're quarterback away, but I could tell you just when you talk to people there, they feel like their offensive line now with Troy Fotano, who was their first-round pick last year. Remember, he missed the season do the meniscus surgery. He's back, so they're going to have him at right tackle. They got to get Broderick Jones playing better. Dan Moore left to the Titans. He got a major deal, but they feel like their offensive line's going to be good. They know they'll address the running back position, but that's something you could always get. It's not a big deal. They made the trade for Metcalf. It's kind of like, let's go. Let's get the quarterback situated, which they're trying to do, and get Rodgers in there. But they're on his timeline. They know that. They knew that when they met with him. Rodgers will tell him when he's ready to sign. Now, if he shocks us and goes to the Giants, that's another story entirely where not that they'd be a playoff team, but a healthy Aaron Rodgers is the key here at 41 and a half years old.
Well, the Giants signed Famous Jameis, and then there's talk here in New York, I don't know if you knew that or not, that they're still allegedly willing to bring in Russell Wilson on top of Famous.
Yeah, look, just so you realize, the Jameis Winston signing has no bearing on whether they're looking for a starting quarterback. Winston's money is not starter money. It's sort of high backup money. Right. So, yeah, they may add, too. Look, they need a future quarterback, which they don't have, okay? They have two quarterbacks on the roster right now. Jameis is going to be on a one-year deal, and you've got Tommy DeVito, who's at best a third-string quarterback. No, they need to add at least – they're going to add at least two quarterbacks. You need to have four in training camp anyway. So they have a lot of work to do, but – your Steelers need this resolved sooner than rather than later, and obviously by the draft, because you want to know by then. But by the way, this is another situation. Even if they get Rodgers, it's not going to stop them from drafting a quarterback early. One doesn't have to do with the other. They would love to know what the future of the quarterback position looks like. No question.
Well, I know you are going to talk later about your mock draft, but they're not stupid enough, the Giants, not like to pass on this kid Sanders at the three and do something besides that, are they?
And we'll talk about the odds in a minute. See, the things, you know, we're 4 weeks away, by the way. The kind of things that I look for right now is, how does the league see Shador Sanders? He's going to go in the first round. That's not the question. Is the value top 10, top 5, or second half of the first round? Now, odds would suggest, again, we'll talk about that in about a minute, that he should go in the top 10, perhaps top 5. I'm not totally sure on that one, not totally sold on that one. But here's the thing with the Giants. That's a team, they've got to get it right at quarterback. I don't care who they bring in as a veteran. They need to get that guy, the quarterback of the future. It didn't work long-term with Daniel Jones. They need to come out of this draft with that guy.
I agree with you. All right, the NFL draft is a month away, and you've got the draft odds. So let's start with the Titans at number one. What are those odds for Cam Ward?
And I've said from day one, since early January, Cam Ward is the best quarterback for this draft. It's not even close. He's minus 1,100 to go to the Titans at number one. Now, other teams have told me they're very open to moving down. But here's the thing, Scott. When you don't have a franchise quarterback, you're looking for one. You've got a new front office. Will Levis was not their guy. They didn't draft him. Levis, by the way, was not a first-round pick. Cam Ward's got to be that guy. I would agree with those odds. I'll tell you when I don't agree with the odds. I'd agree with that at minus 1,100. That he'll go to the Titans at number one.
All right. What about the Browns? And Abdul Carter is the favorite there, right?
All right. So you and I last talked about Carter at the Combine, when the story broke that he's got a stress reaction, which is a foot issue where that could be a precursor to a broken foot. It's real simple. If the Browns are comfortable with the scans, right, that they don't think this is going to be a big deal, he's going to go at number two. And I agree with the Carter at plus 600. If they're not, if they're concerned, that there's a long-term issue, they can't go with him. And then Travis Hunter would be that guy. But those are the three guys. See, I just, Shador Sanders is an interesting guy, and we'll talk about the Giants in a second. But the bottom line is, if Carter gets cleared medically, he is going number two to the Browns. Can you imagine having Myles Garrett on one side and Abdul Carter on the other? And again, it comes down to medical. That'd be a huge pick for that'd be a great get for them at number two.
Okay, so the said Giants at number three.
All right, so here's where the odds are. Now, again, they hold the pick. Understand these odds. It's the player who's going to go at number three. Travis Hunter right now, if you look at that pick right now, Travis Hunter is plus 235. Sanders is plus 105. Now, the Giants hold that pick, and Abdul Carter will be plus 275 because, obviously, he's expected to go no worse than number two to the Browns. To me, right now, if it goes Ward and Abdul Carter, it's got to be Travis Hunter. Absolutely has to be Travis. Well, it doesn't have to be Travis Hunter. Shador Sanders, again, it's the quarterback. But, again, they have to figure out, is the value there? He is plus 105. He is the favorite. I don't disagree with that. But Travis Hunter is a better football player. See, when you put together a value board, it's who is the best player available. Travis Hunter is the best player, but quarterback supersedes any need because it's the most important position in professional sports, as you well know.
And then the other guy plays two positions, which is crazy when you think about it. Let's talk about Total quarterbacks drafted in the first round.
I love this one. I love this one. It's funny. Craig Mish and I have been talking about this for a month on Newswire. And here's the way I see this. The over is 2.5. Okay. That's minus 600. We know it's a lock that two quarterbacks are going to go in there. Could the Mississippi quarterback go in the first round? Yes. I think that's going to happen. It's minus 600 for the over, and I would agree with that. The under's plus 425. It's a quarterback-driven class. You always know. It always happens, Scott. 3 to 5 quarterbacks go in the first round every year. The over is the play there. Now, running backs in the first round. This is where it gets fascinating. The over 2.5 is plus 250. It's a lock that Hampton, the running back from North Carolina, and Genty. But after that, there are two that will go in the top 40. I like the kid Henderson, who's super explosive. As one source told me, he's not as big physically as Jahmyr Gibbs, but he's so explosive. You pair Travion Henderson, the running back from Ohio State, with a power back, and you've got a phenomenal 1-2 punch. But I don't see him right now, Scott, because I don't know that he's a bell cow back. If you're not a three down back, if you're not a guy who's going to handle a significant amount of touches, you're probably not going to go in the first round at the running back position. The owner, by the way, is minus 360 for 2.5 running backs. Wide receiver, Scott, this is a fascinating one. It's not a great receiver class, just like quarterback. It's really not. The over 2.5 wide receivers is minus 300, Scott, is minus 300. I would agree with that. I'd say 3 to 4 receivers is going to be the number. And here's why. Golden, the receiver from Texas, ran an incredible 40. He's going to go in the first round, Matthew Golden, who's going to go somewhere between 20 and 32. He's a guy you and I will be talking about more as we get closer to the draft, because he's a guy that a lot of people don't talk enough about, but he's an absolute stud. But again, I like the over minus 300. The under is plus 220. I cannot see just two receivers. There's no way. Luther Byrne out of Missouri, by the way, will be most likely be the second receiver off the board. He's really, really gifted.
Well, it's interesting because you're talking about it's not a good receiver class at all, but you still want three of them taken in the first round. So I don't know if it's going to go down. We'll see.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So Adam Kaplan is with us, and he is very upset that Carver High will not release his win totals and World Series futures today to him while he's doing the show. Carver High stormed off the set, refusing to give that information. He'll do it tomorrow with the sheet of integrity and the release of said terms. And then Adam proceeded to say he refuses now to go past the 16th pick in the first round here with his mock draft. He's literally cutting it in half because of what Carver High has done. He's
we'll cutting do the it second in half next right week. Now. Yeah, we'll do the second half next week. Let's rock and roll, though. So, Scott, again, the Titans at number one. They cannot trade down. They got to make sure they get that quarterback. Scott, you know this business. When you don't have a quarterback, you can't win. They got to get one. It's Cam Ward, who's by far the best quarterback. He's very gifted. He could do absolutely everything. We'll talk more about him going forward at number one. Number two, the Browns.
What did you think of his pro day?
Yeah, now pro days, by the way, pro days are scripted. It's no big deal to me how good a guy looks at a pro day thrown to his own receivers. But I know I could just tell you this guy's a stud talent. I know a very high-ranking NFL source who told me that he's done a lot of background on Cam Ward. It checks out really, really well. He doesn't care about what happened in the ball game. He's going number one to the Titans. Number two, now, as I said, Scott, earlier, okay, in the first segment, it's real simple. If Abdul Carter checks out medically, remember, he also had a shoulder issue, too. If Carter checks out medically, he's absolutely going number two. He is a stud talent. If he doesn't, see, we have to get through the next 4 weeks. Clubs are still looking into that foot issue. Right now, I'm going to go with Travis Hunter at number two. And you mentioned it earlier. Just to clear this up, he's a cornerback who could play receiver at this level. Yes, he could do both. Cornerback is a more valued position. I look forward to seeing him play mostly corner in the National Football League with the Browns at number two.
I got to tell you, so I agree with that completely, but if you're that great as a receiver, that is a big money position in the NFL nowadays, too. Look at these guys, Chase and Higgins and everyone. They're all cashing big checks. If he can do it, why wouldn't he do both? If they'll let him.
Here's the thing, though. He's got to have one primary position. You can play both, Scott, but you have to have one position that you're doing more than the other. It's got to be corner, but you make a great point. Corners now are going to make in the mid, like $20 million a season, $20, $25 million a season, the top guys.
Right.
$27 million getting up there now with the recent deals. But you're right, receivers now are getting $40 million plus. So that's something to take a look at. Now, number three. This one is not easy because, Scott, as I was talking about earlier, and we can move this along here a little bit with Shura Sanders. I get why it's plus 105. The Giants, they've got to get that future quarterback. It's enough already. They got to get it right. And remember, Joe Shane did not draft Daniel Jones. He extended the contract. That more or less was his decision with ownership involved, as I understand it. But that didn't work out. They got to get their quarterback. They're really loaded, by the way, at wide receiver, the Giants are. That's not the problem. They need to get their quarterback. We'll go with the Giants here with Shador Sanders. Colorado, by the way, Colorado back-to-back draft picks at number two and number three. Four, it's real simple. Abdul Carter's the best player on the board to the Patriots number five. At number four, excuse me. At number five, this is where the Jaguars probably want to trade down, but they need defensive tackles in the worst way. And they're loaded, the University of Michigan. Mason Graham is the pick here for the Jaguars at number five.
So I just want to ask you one more question about the kid Hunter. Do you think that they would use him as a third or fourth down receiver in situations and make him a primary corner, but then, like, if it's, you know, fourth and 10 and they're late in the game and they got to win, put him in?
You could, but you could also do it when clubs are not expecting it. Because generally, on your point, yes, you could go four wide, you go 10 personnel and put him in a big spot, but you could do it early in the game where they're not prepared for something like that. But yeah, he's going to be fascinating. I can't wait to talk more about him. Let's get to number six with the Raiders.
All right.
McMillan, the receiver from Arizona, is the best receiver for this draft. Really like him. Big guy built like Mike Evans. At number seven, the Jets, who have not built a good offensive line in a decade. We're going with Will Campbell, the LSU tackle. At number eight, the Panthers have zero pass rush. We'll go with Michael Williams, the edge rusher from Georgia. This next pick is one of my favorite. The Saints, Jalen Walker would be the pick. Now, Scott, he's from Georgia as well. He could play inside backer. He could play outside backer. But Brandon Staley, to me, will probably use him as an inside backer here at number nine. He's the new defensive coordinator for the Saints. At number 10, it's Mike Green, the big-time edge rusher from Marshall. Now, he had some off-the-field concerns. He addressed it at the combine. He's aware of what people are saying. He denies any issues off the field. He denies anything that's been any of the accusations. But the Bears have no pass rush. You and I have talked about this. They got to get it. It's Mike Green, the edge rusher at number 10 for the Bears. At number 11, the other D tackle from Michigan, Kenneth Grant, will go to the Niners, who are very light at D tackle. At 12, this is one of my top sleepers for the draft, Walter Nolan, the D tackle from Mississippi for the Cowboys at 12. Falcons, go ahead.
No, I think that's great.
Yeah. I like Nolan. He's a sleeper. You and I are going to talk more about him. He's going to go higher, I guarantee, than
he's
odds.
He's a badass.
Yep, we're going to talk about. I want to find out what his odds are. 13, the Dolphins have a bad offensive line. We'll go with Membu, the Missouri, a guard tackle. 14, here we go, the tight end guy. Tyler Warren, who I know the Jet fans want earlier, but he's going to make it to the Colts, who are terrible tight end. He'll go at 14 to the Colts. Out of Penn State, he's a stud. At 15, the Saints, who have no pass rush, James Pierce, the edge rusher from Tennessee. And at 16, one of the two edge rushers from Texas A&M, Shamar Stewart, at 16 to the Cardinals. You know, Scott, the Cardinals kind of, they're a competitive team, but they can't seem to close because their defense isn't good enough. They need to get edge rush help, and I like this. But you're seeing a lot of, listen, Scott, most of the players that went off the board in the upper half here are defense, because defense is the best side of the ball for this draft. There's no question about it.
I can't wait to watch Tyler Warren at the next level. He's a stud.
He is, 100%. No, he's an absolute stud. I agree with you.
I mean, this guy is just, what can't he do? I mean, he blocks, he catches everything, he runs over people. He's an absolute monster. They're going to love him if he ends up in Indy.
By the way, Colston Loveland, the other tight end from Michigan, don't be shocked Don't be shocked if he goes over Warren. Multiple teams told me they've got him over Warren, but I believe the whole league has Warren. Most of the league has Warren over.
All right, great stuff today, Adam. Thank you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everybody loves leftovers. It's just common knowledge at this point.
Everybody does love leftovers. It is common knowledge at this point. All right, some baseball stuff. Like I said, big blowout tomorrow. First, Ohtani will be back on the mound this year. We still don't know exactly when, but he's going to throw a bullpen session on Saturday for the Dodgers. So we're going to get close to seeing Ohtani out there. I can't listen to Boone again about Juan Soto, so I'm going past that today. I don't got time for that. I can't listen to them anymore. Here's what I will tell you about the Yankees. Austin Wells will hit leadoff on Thursday in their opening game against the Brewers. He will be the first catcher in Yankees history to hit leadoff, not on opening day, ever, period. No Yankee catcher has ever hit leadoff in the history, the storied history of the Yankees, and Austin Wells will do that on Thursday for them.
Okay.
Jordan Montgomery had a real bad year in Arizona last year. Well, he's not going to have any year at all this year. Tommy John surgery for Jordan Montgomery, finished. He's done.
I'm surprised it wasn't his gut that they're cutting off because he got so fat.
Angels release outfielder, one of our favorites, Mickey, forget the cognac, give me the moniac. Mickey Moniac gets released by the Angels. Hopefully he catches on somewhere. Because we always love saying his name. The Mariners are finalizing a six-year, $105 million extension with catcher Cal Raleigh. We'll be saying his name a lot soon, too, on Tater Time here on C2C. The Tigers' top pitching prospect, Jackson Jobe, will make the starting rotation to begin the season. Another big arm for the Tigers. All week this week, getting close to opening day, our new opening day food of the day here on Coast to Coast. I don't know if you've seen this one yet. This is at Texas Ranger Games at Globe Life down in Arlington. The Boomstick Burrito coming in hot for you today. A 24-inch, two-foot-long burrito with rice, beans, taco meat, nacho cheese, pico de gallo, lettuce, and sour cream. The Boomstick Burrito coming your way.
That's a heavy hitter. Right there.
And if you want, you can then wash it down afterwards by heading up to Yankee Stadium in the Bronx and hitting yourself with tiramisu in a helmet. I mean, you gotta be kidding me here. Tiramisu in a helmet.
I saw that, the tiramisu, like trying to show people up.
I can't believe it. I've already seen one or two for tomorrow. It's outstanding. Stanford football fired head coach Troy Taylor today. I don't know if you saw this last week.
Wasn't he bullying people?
Two female colleagues on the staff. He was, I guess, bullying them. So Andrew Luck, who now basically runs Stanford football, chopped him, says they need to start over. So God bless and good luck to Troy. He's finished. Atlanta last night beat New York in the first match of the TGL Finals. Nice job there by them. They'll look to close it out tonight. New York's got to win to force a third match, which would also be tonight. So you'd get double-dip TGL if New York wins the first
game. That's what you'll get.
No matter what.
Give me that.
Give me the three. Let's get a third match in a championship game. Puka Nacua, Puka Shell says he plans on retiring when he turns 30. So he's already talking about getting out. The Quitters Club. And ex-FIFA boss Sepp Blatter. Criminal, but he was cleared in that corruption case involving FIFA. They let Sepp go and some other crony of his. They let him out the door, too, so he gets off with nothing.
All right, for Ella Finish, Cain Velasquez sentenced to 5 years for attempted murder. He had to walk into the court and he was facing 25 to life and got a five-year slip. He's good to go with that stretch. He'll be out in 2.5. Then he can catch up with that guy that tried to rape his relative. Gonna get a hold of him and put him in a headlock. Rear naked. We don't even like talking about this. Brett Gardner's son, 14-year-old, dead. They're saying it didn't happen from asphyxiation. The story keeps changing of what happened at that resort in Costa Rica. What a mess. College and high school kids are hammering coke, weed, and Molly on spring break down in Florida. What a disaster. I don't want my kids to hear that mess. Florida tree trimmer killed after getting caught in a wood chipper. My man fell off the building at the town hall into the wood chipper and was chewed alive. Unbelievable. GTD is next with Joe Ranieri, the mayor of Miami. Get my app. Search for Alex Badass. We'll see you tomorrow at 3. A coast to coast.